We're looking to Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. Then we'll be going to the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John. This morning, for brief scripture readings, I direct your attention to Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Then to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse number 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then we read this prophecy from Jesus in John chapter 14 that he made at the Last Supper. Jesus said, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live." Would you say amen? Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Today we gather to celebrate the most important 3 days in all of human history. The days of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world as God's gift of love, lived and preached and worked powerfully on this earth, died on the old rugged cross for our sins, rose again from the dead as our living Lord, and ascended to heaven where he reigns and rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. We're not here this morning to weep over a dead Christ on a cross. We're here to worship a living Lord on the throne. We're not here to mourn a corpse. We're here to hail a hero. We are gathered here today, dearly beloved, to declare unequivocally, incontrovertibly, unambiguously, unashamedly that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he is Lord. This morning, I want to issue 4 simple Easter challenges to everyone in the house. We are limited on time this morning, but what we lack in time, we hope to make up in spirit. Would you say amen? And I'm going to issue 4 simple declarations to every person in the house today. The first challenge is this: examine the facts. Examine the facts. When it comes to the Easter story, we either believe Jesus rose from the dead or we don't believe it. But if we examine the facts, we will come to the realization, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. What are the facts before us today? Well, first is the fact of the empty tomb. Luke chapter 24, verse 2 says, "When they arrived at the tomb, they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body of Jesus was gone. We can picture the story in our minds this morning as the women get up early. The women are always the ones who get up early to do the early morning work. And the women on that first day of the week got up early in the morning and marched out to the garden tomb. While they were on their way, they worried about getting into the tomb, but when they arrived, the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was gone. An empty tomb, a disappearing body, created a major mystery and challenge for the early disciples. But Jesus had declared it already. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. And early somewhere in the morning hours of that first day of the week, the Son of God, whose body lay in that dark tomb, was infused with the life of God and rose again from the dead to be living Lord. The tomb was empty. Now, we've heard the ridiculous opposing arguments. Some say the women went to the wrong tomb. And all the women said, bah, humbug, to borrow a Christmas expression for our Easter celebration. Some say Jesus never really died. It's the swoon theory. And somehow, while lying there in the tomb, he just sort of got up again, rolled the stone away himself in his weakened condition, and marched out. Some say thieves stole the body. Others say the disciples moved the body. Some said the Romans or the Jews took the body. My best argument of all is that an animal ate the body. And when the animal was finished eating, the body of Jesus folded up the napkin neatly and rolled away the stone and pranced out of the tomb. The arguments are ridiculous, and quite frankly, all arguments fall apart when you examine the enduring eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6 tells us that at one time after his resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. We don't have 500 people here in the house today. We might have close to that. 500 people in one setting witnessed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Some tradition tells us that was at the Mount of Olives as Jesus was there. Wherever it was, the witnesses were plentiful. The eyewitness testimony to the resurrection of Jesus is overwhelming. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, then to Peter, then to the two on the road to Emmaus, then to the 10, then to 11, then to his biological brothers. Jesus appeared again at the Sea of Galilee, appearing to the disciples, the scripture says, for 40 days, eating and drinking with them, teaching and training them about the kingdom of God. And Luke writes in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He showed them his hands and his feet. He invited Thomas to touch his side that had been pierced by the spear. Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And then before ascending, appeared to that great multitude. And the witnesses who saw the resurrected Jesus testified and preached with power and shared the gospel and laid down their lives to tell the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, had risen from the dead in power and majesty. And they declared, Jesus Christ is Lord. The enduring eyewitness testimony is followed by the empowering transformations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You don't have to look very far into the New Testament to see that the resurrected Jesus changed people's lives. We see Peter on the day of Pentecost. A few days earlier, he had been afraid to testify to a little servant girl in the garden. And now on the day of Pentecost, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the assurance of the resurrected Jesus, Peter stands in the midst of thousands and declared, "This same Jesus whom you have crucified has been raised from the dead, and he is Lord over heaven and earth." The empowering transformations have continued down through these 2,000 years of church history as one after another after another after another person has met Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, has invited him into their lives and has seen the powerful transforming work of Jesus take place. I declare to you this morning that the work of Jesus is still taking place and transforming lives today. Empowering transformations. The emphatic truth based on the facts is this. 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Examine the facts. Once you've examined the facts, I invite you, dear friends, to eliminate the fallacies. I want to say two things this morning clearly, and they are these. Number one, Jesus is not dead or defunct. Some have relegated Jesus to the pages of history. But I remind you that the angels asked the women, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Jesus does not linger in the pages of the dead. Jesus lives in the realm of the living. He is alive. He is not dead or defunct. Some have said that Jesus is no good any longer, that somehow he is outdated or sitting on a shelf. But listen, Jesus is not relegated to the pages of history. He is not a dead religious leader. He is alive and working today. And Hebrews chapter 13 declares Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is not dead and he is not defunct. He is alive. And I would also declare that Jesus is not done or dilly-dallying. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus declared from heaven, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And Jesus, friends, is not done with his work. He is still working today. In fact, dear friends, his prophetic timetable is very much intact. The same prophets who predicted the first coming of Jesus the Messiah have predicted his second coming one of these days. And Jesus, who came as a baby in a manger the first time, is coming as the glorified Lord of heaven in his second coming. And the scripture declares in the book of Hebrews that very soon he who is coming will come and will not delay. Jesus, I tell you this morning, you haven't seen the last of Jesus Christ. If he was glorious in his first coming, he'll be even more glorious in his second coming. The first time he came in humility, the second time he will come in glory. Jesus is coming again to rescue and to rule and to reign. Jesus is not done. And even in this present realm, this present life, dear friends, Jesus is not done in the here and now. He's not done with you. Aren't you glad? No. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day we see him face to face." Jesus is still working. Amen. He's still working in us. He's working in our lives, working in our hearts, changing us, helping us, ministering to us, encouraging us, supplying what we need. Jesus is alive and well and working. So examine the facts, eliminate the fallacies, and three, embrace the faith. Grab hold of Jesus Christ with the reach, with the grab, with the embrace of faith today. I encourage everybody in the house this morning to grab hold of Jesus and hold him tight. Embrace him today. I encourage everyone to recognize the position of Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What is the position of Jesus? He is Lord. Will you bow the knee before him? Will you humble yourselves before the lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ? Will you receive him for who he really is? Not just a religious addition to your life, but the active living Lord of your life. Recognize the position of Jesus, then receive the pardon and the peace of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. We sang the song this morning, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. What a privilege and comfort and peace and joy it is for us to rest in the forgiveness and the pardon of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you here in the room today perhaps have lived lives that you're ashamed of. Your past is marked by sin and disobedience to God and wickedness. Well, let me give you a wake-up call this morning, dear friend. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all stand guilty before God. We all are worthy of the death penalty because of our sin and rebellion against God. But though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus died and rose again so that our sins could be washed away forever and we could be free and at peace with God. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Yes, receive the pardon and the peace of Jesus. Thirdly, rejoice in the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus said, even though I'm going away in my physical form, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And Jesus, the Son of the living God, through the presence and power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us now. Everybody say, welcome, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it out loud. Welcome, Lord Jesus. Oh, as we welcome him and rejoice in his nearness to us, we celebrate who he is and all that he has done for us. And as we embrace the faith, we are able to rise in the resurrection power of Jesus, because Romans chapter 8 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. How many Christian believers do we have in the house today? Lift your hand and say a good amen today. For every Christian believer in the house today, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. That means there is resurrection power living on the inside of you. I would say, wouldn't you, that means we can live a brand new life through the power of Jesus Christ. A brand new life. Examine the facts, eliminate the fallacies, embrace the faith. And our fourth challenge today is this: go ahead and enjoy the future. I know we're living in troubled times and dark days. But I declare to you this morning that no matter how dark this world gets, Jesus is still the light of the world. And those who look to him, the scripture says, are radiant. I said, those who look to him are radiant. We experience the face of Jesus and the glory of Jesus as we look to him in faith. And we can enjoy the future. I want to say, Christian friend, we do not have to be people of dread and fear and worry and depression over what's going on around about us. Jesus is alive. He is our Lord. And we have a right to march into the future confidently through Jesus Christ our Lord. Embracing the faith and enjoying the future means that we can live forward. 1 Peter 4:2, I love these words, say that we can live the rest of this earthly life for the will of God. Doesn't that sound like a winning proposition? Isn't it a joy to know that we can leave the old life behind and live forward into the grace and the favor and the blessing of God, living forward. The death and resurrection of Jesus conquers our past and gives us lease and title to a brand new life, a life lived not for the old deathly purposes, but for God's good plan. When I was a college student at the University of Missouri, a powerful ministry group was cycling, circulating all through the campus with a familiar old gospel piece of literature. And the first word in that piece of literature was this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And oh, I declare to you this morning, dear friends, God loves you. He has a good plan for your life. His plans are not to harm you, but to give you a future, to peace, to give you blessing, to allow you to live in his presence forever. So live forward, and secondly, live fearlessly. Revelation 1:17, Jesus said to John, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever." And dear friends, we do not have to fear today. Our Lord is in charge. I said, our Lord is in charge. Our Lord, the one whom we serve, the one who died and rose for us, our Lord is in charge. We are his people. And the sheep of his pasture, Jesus is alive. We do not have to fear. Our living Lord is in charge of our lives and our future. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He is alive and on the throne. And because he lives, we will live also. We will live in his abundant life, in his provision, in his peace, in his favor and love, in his joy and victory. We will live because Jesus is alive. I said, we will live because Jesus is alive. Amen. We will live. We can live forward. We can live fearlessly. And lastly, because of that clock up there, we can live forever. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "I hold the keys of death." In his death and resurrection, Jesus conquered death. He holds the keys. He conquered death not merely for himself. I remind you that Jesus, when Jesus came, even as a baby in the manger, though he laid aside many of his divine prerogatives, he was the Son of God in the flesh, even as he lived on this earth. Jesus has always been, throughout all of eternity, throughout his earthly life, now and forever, the Son of the living God. Hear me now. Death had no chance when it came to Jesus. The conquering of death for Jesus was a given from the beginning. I hope you know, friends, I hope you are theologically established enough to know that when God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, that neither Father nor Son nor Holy Spirit were worried that Jesus would not make it through the experience. I hope you know that. Jesus was always the Son of God. But when he died on the cross for us, he also rose from the dead for us, so that we in our humanity might understand that because Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, he's bringing with him a whole band, a whole brotherhood of believers, a whole sisterhood of believers. Jesus is bringing us with him through this life, perhaps through physical death, but ultimately through his resurrection life, Jesus is bringing us into eternal life. And heaven is ahead, children of God. On this Easter Sunday morning, even in the midst of this troubled world, Jesus is alive. So I challenge you today, examine the facts, eliminate the fallacies, embrace the faith, and enjoy the future in the blessing and power of Jesus Christ. He is our living Lord today. I invite everyone to stand, please, across the sanctuary. And as we pause for just a moment here in the presence of the Lord, I want to invite everyone in the house today to pause in prayer with me. Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning as we focus in today on Jesus, on his presence with us? And I want to invite everyone in this house today to welcome Jesus into your life. Perhaps most of you here today, in fact, I think I know most of you here this morning, perhaps most of you welcomed Jesus into your life a long time ago. He lives and reigns and rules in your heart today. You are here today to celebrate what you've known and believed and declared for many years. Jesus is alive and he's alive in you. But if you're here this morning and you have never invited Jesus personally into your own life, I invite you to do that now. The Bible says, we've read it today, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. As you acknowledge and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, declare him as your personal Lord and Savior. He will wash away your sins. He will give you hope for today and tomorrow. I'm going to lead the congregation in a prayer this morning, an invitation prayer to invite Jesus into your heart today. If you have never prayed that prayer, if you've never invited Jesus in, why don't you do it today as we pray together? And congregation, would you all pray this prayer out loud with me today as a declaration of our faith? Can we pray? Dear God in heaven, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for loving me, for seeing me, for knowing me. I believe, oh God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, right now, I declare you are Lord. I receive you. I welcome you into my life as my Lord. I give you my life now. Wash away my sins and my failures and bring me into your new life. From this day forward, Jesus, I live for you. I live in you. And I look forward to seeing you with my eyes someday. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, and this very day you have become a follower of Jesus Christ. Would you let me know? Let one of our pastors know following the service today. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you, get acquainted with you today, and just celebrate with you a new life that has begun on this resurrection Sunday morning.